You're listening to WhoRadio.com, voice of the International African Revolution.
Reparations in Action here on UhuruRadio.com, the online voice of the International African Revolution. Reparations in Action is the weekly program of the African People's Solidarity Committee, the organization of white people who work under the leadership of African People's Socialist Party to bring the message of African liberation, self-determination, and reparations into the heart of the white community. My name is Jamie Simpson, your host and a member of the Uhuru Solidarity Movement. Joining me in the studio today, this May 24th, African Liberation Day weekend, is our outstanding engineer and Uhuru Solidarity Movement member, Darren St. Pierre. We have our national chair of Uhuru Solidarity Movement, Jesse Neville, here. Uhuru Jesse. And we have our chairwoman of the African People's Solidarity Committee, Penny Hess, who will be Uhuru Penny. And we have our featured, esteemed guest today on the line. And we want to first express our profound appreciation to the African People's Socialist Party and the entire Uhuru Radio team and network for giving us this hour every week to bring the message of solidarity with Black power into the hearts and minds of the white community. So this week's an exceptionally significant show as we celebrate African Liberation Day. And on call right now, we have on the line with Luwazi Kinshasa, Secretary General of the African Socialist International. Luwazi Kinshasa, born in the Congo, currently living in London, he has built African People's Socialist Party branches throughout Europe, including London, Belgium, France, Sweden, and more. And Secretary General Luwazi Kinshasa is also Secretary General of the African Socialist International, an organization the party has struggled to build for decades, and we are humbled and honored to have this leading member of the African People's Socialist Party live on the line from Paris, France. Welcome to Reparations in Action, Secretary General Luwazi Kinshasa and Uhuru.
Yes, welcome, right? It's a really big honor Reach Uhuru Radio as usual, so I can't say how much it's important for me to be in this radio and to be in the program. And I want also to extend all, Uhuru basically to all the comrades from the Solidarity, because they're all part of the Uhuru movement, and we need more people listening. If they haven't joined yet, the whole point we're doing this program is for people to join, so we can fight and win. So I just want to appreciate that.
Uhuru, I unite with that. Thank you so much for that call out to membership. We appreciate it. Absolutely. Secretary General Luwazi, we are in the midst of African Liberation Day weekend. We speak to you here from St. Petersburg as you are in Paris, France. And the Uhuru Solidarity Movement is indeed calling on our membership and base, as you said, to donate to this crucial campaign we are in the midst of, Africa Must Unite, a campaign to bring Chairman Omali Eshetela and other Uhuru movement leaders to speak in occupied Azania, or as our listeners may know it, South Africa, as the colonists called it. Why is this trip, Secretary General Luwazi, so important right now at this juncture in history?
This trip is a historical trip, it's an important trip, and it's happening at a particular time in history when the world is changing, as you've seen many times on the television, from Ferguson, Baltimore, from Yemen to Iraq. So you see the whole change is happening in the world, oppressed people fighting back to get back control of their resources and their destiny. And South Africa is a critical place. And because South Africa is a critical place, it's a place where the whole African continent, where raw material can be not just extracted from the ground, but also transformed to finished product. You name it, from cars to planes, to ship, things like that. So there is a high concentration for working class there in South Africa. And it's really critical that people understand the revolution in South Africa has not been completed. Mm-hmm. You've seen the violence in South Africa. All these are manifestations of the lack of completion of the black revolution in South Africa. And also, Chairman Omali has been there before. He worked for over 30 years with the PAC, the Pan-Africanist Congress of Azania, mm-hmm. To win them to African Socialist International, to African internationalism. The trip we're trying to do is basically not just a continuity of that, but we believe probably is the final stage of that, where now what the chairman was trying to do for a long time, win African in Azania to African Socialist International, now is bearing fruits in a more, I would say, radical way. We got people, not just in Johannesburg, Cape Town, but other places, were saying they want to be organized, they want to be African internationalists, they want to complete the Black Revolution, and they want the chairman to be there. So there is that demand there. There is also the strategy chairman put out that Africa needs to be united, as the trip itself is called. So you have all this coming into, all these things are coming together. And plus, as I say in the very beginning, the world is changing. And we want to seize the time to make the Black Revolution, the time to give the African working class the revolutionary tool they need, which is the African Socialist International, and the philosophy they need to explain the world, to explain our conditions, and to explain a new vision of the world. Because we say the world is changing. African Socialist Internationalism, the African internationalism is exactly the philosophy of changing the world, when we say changing the world, of bringing the African working class to power. So that's the trip we're talking about. That's basically the change we're talking about. The African working class fighting this time for power to become the government of one African nation. And so it's just fundamental. South Africa is the place to do it, to launch that struggle at a critical place.
That seems absolutely correct, Secretary General. We're thrilled to hear. If there were a couple moments where the reception broke up, and I think during that moment you were speaking about the quality of the forces on the ground who are hungry for the line of action internationalism and really are ready to build the African Socialist International, and we're really excited to hear that. I think that we're seeing a lot of movement on the continent and in occupied Azania or South Africa, if I'm not mistaken, in the recent Burning Spear. Certainly you wrote an outstanding article about the fate of the statue of the dreaded colonialist Cecil Rhodes. Would you explain to us the significance of the so-called Poo protests, or the Rhodes Must Fall protests, and what the significance of this statue's demise is to the struggle?
So to hear the communication was bringing up, so I didn't realize that. So basically, that statue should have been brought down a long time ago. The ANC is not about revolution. The ANC is not about ending colonialism, so they had no interest in bringing down that statue. And the young people, the African students, who go to that university, they are humiliated every day to know that Cecil Rhodes is the man who launched basically the building of today's South African state, because it's always said that when they refer to as apartheid, that Cecil Rhodes was a key element in bringing that into fruition. Cecil Rhodes was also the man who inspired Adolf Hitler. Anything Adolf Hitler, you know, dreamed of doing, he copied Cecil Rhodes. And Cecil Rhodes is the one who funds the Oxford University in England, you know, the one keeping other people attended. So basically, bringing that statue down is a prelude of what the African working class needs to do. The student do bring the statue down, but African workers need to bring the state down, the neo-colonial state down, the settler neo-colonialist state down. And our call to the student is to join African the building of African Socialist International. The student, we unite with the struggle to bring that statue down, but the role of the student is to acquire the advanced philosophy so they can become preachers. So African internationalism, to launch the struggle for ideas in university, where they are, win people to new ideas, a new vision of African internationalism, which basically is what the ASI is fighting for. And that's what we see the completion of the struggle in South Africa. You know, bringing the statue down, that's why. That should have been done a long time ago. But so we salute the student for doing that. And we want the student to carry on, to develop, to advance the struggle. And the only way we can advance that struggle is to acquire the advanced ideas, the most advanced philosophy, which is African internationalism, and to acquire the tools to complete the revolution in Azania and in Africa, and indeed in the whole world. If you want to bring parasitic capitalism down, you go start by building the African Socialist International, which will definitely bring capitalists down. And that's how we see the struggle. The students were involved in those universities in South Africa is the struggle that we need to take forward to this complacency. So that's basically, what I can say. So it's a process in the struggle until black population is completed. So we're calling the students who are listening to this program to come on board. Yes, we're.
Uhuru.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Secretary.
Massive General. Breaking up. Yes, we're.
Start waking up this world. Uhuru, I apologize both to you, Secretary General, and to our listeners. We're having a little bit of technical difficulty with the long distance in terms of the signal. But what Secretary General Luezi Kinshasa has been laying out is that what happened was the students brought down through humiliating this statue of Cecil Rhodes at this university, which is primarily run by white people, white settler colonists. And Cecil Rhodes was someone who Adolf Hitler looked up to, as Secretary General Luizzi said. And the students brought down this statue, just as African people intend to bring down the edifice of imperialism and colonialism standing on their backs and complete the African Revolution in the words of Secretary General Luwazi, and fight on and call on those students who brought that statue down to do the same with the entire parasitic capitalist system. Thank you for
may
that.
May I also add one point? Because we know usually what happens is that the African petit bourgeoisie, those who aspire to become the African petit bourgeoisie or to join the ANC or to replace the ANC without changing anything, they will see this struggle just a struggle to reforms, because we know the administration of those universities in South Africa is still white-dominated administration. And some elements of the African student, they see basically they're looking to replace the white administrators in those universities because they see dominates those universities. That's how they see the objective of the struggle. And we're saying that's not what we're fighting for. You know, we've seen enough of that for the white, the African petit bourgeoisie or middle class element replacing the white administrators. We don't want that. That will not solve our problems. That will just solve individual problems for those students who are qualified and who can run those institutions, because some of them, that's exactly what they want. They want to run the universities. They want to be their sole absolute administrators of those universities. That's not the struggle we're talking about. We're talking about the struggle to emancipate the African nation, the struggle to emancipate the African working class, the struggle to bring the African working class to power. And that struggle requires the African working class to be organized and every other social force to be submitted to the leadership of the African working class. That's basically the struggle we're talking about. So the struggle to get rid of parasitic capitalism, as opposed to the struggle just to become the new administrators of those universities.
Yes, that's the
struggle of the African petit bourgeoisie. It happens all the time, you know, in Africa and African nations around the world. Yes, world.
Uhuru, thank you for that clarification, Secretary General. Forgive me if I interrupted you. It's a consequence of the long distance. It had sounded like you had finished, but it is important to make that distinction between reform and simply putting an African face on an imperial capitalist system versus the African workers coming to state power and overturning the whole system. Why do you think is it important for white supporters here in the U.S., for instance, who are observing the righteous resistance to police terror from Baltimore, Maryland to Ferguson, Missouri? Is it important for people, white people who are supporting Africans in the U.S. struggling for their self-determination, to also support the resistance being waged by African students, workers, and poor peasants in South Africa and other places on the continent? Are those struggles related?
Yes, definitely, they are all related. And what people usually see, they see the European population in Africa and the African population in Africa, and the European population in America and the African population in America. So they see similarities like that. But what we need to say is that the relationship between the African nation and the European nation is the same. So it happens in many places. It happens in Africa, it happens in Europe, it happens in North America, and elsewhere, like Australia, New Zealand, places like that. And the white people are there as part of the oppressor nation, and the Africans are part of that relationship as the oppressed. So you have a relationship that ties the two nations together. One nation is the oppressor, another nation is the oppressed. Now, when you look at the struggles happening in South Africa, the whole white oppressor nation are part of the supporters of the neo-colonial state in South Africa. It's not just a state that's there, you know, out of the blues. It's a struggle that's being created and imposed on people there by the
nation. We're starting to the long distance.
White people came from Holland, from France, Britain, and so on. And also historically, since the can you hear me?
Yeah, Uhuru, it comes in and out, Secretary General Luwazi.
Comes in and out. Okay.
But all right. The general thrust of what you're saying, we're in total unity with, and I think understood that it's the same relationship
between the African nation and the European nation, wherever it is, whether it's in the United States or in Africa. It's the same dynamic between the white population or oppressor nation and African people, even if whether it's on the continent of Africa or in Baltimore, Maryland. And I just want to make sure we're with him very momentarily. We appreciate you bearing with us.
And so on.
Uhuru.
Yeah, I'm there. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. It's the long distance is affecting the quality.
Okay.
So we appreciate this, Secretary General Luizi. We just wanted to ask you if you wanted to speak to the you were mentioning the African National Congress and the legacy of of the Mandela era. Now that we see that the white minority still owns the overwhelming majority of arable land in South Africa, we see platinum miners striking at mines owned by the United Kingdom and miners gunned down by South African police for striking for a living wage. What are the conditions for most African people in occupied Azania in this post-Mandela period? I think we may have disconnected again. Okay. Uhuru, Secretary General. So we're not getting a signal at this point. We're as well as our listeners for that. We will do our best to get Comrade Secretary General Luizi back on the line for this interview. He was breaking down some really critical points about the struggle of African people for absolute emancipation. And I think we're back on the line. Uhuru, Secretary General Luizi.
Yeah, so I was talking. Yes,
go ahead.
So I'm talking about the role of the ANC. South Africa is a settler colonial state, which means that the foreigners, white people came from Europe, control the land. They control the land. They control the economy of South Africa. And the only thing that has changed was that the white administrators have been replaced by the black administrators through the ANC. The role of the ANC has been to take control of the state and to use the state to repress the revolution, to repress the workers, to repress the masses. That has been the role of the ANC. That's why they have been handed in the state. So that's why we saw the Marikana, because the role of the state is to repress, and the role of the state in neo colony is to the African petty bourgeoisie to repress the workers and the peasant. And that's what the ANC is doing exactly. It's no exception. That's been happening all along throughout Africa and throughout the African nation. The role of African people was just state. Wilson Good dropped the bomb in Philadelphia. In the same way, in Africa, the African leadership of the ANC has killed the workers in Marikana. So it's not an exception. That's the policy. That's the role. That's what they are in power for. Now, what needs to happen, the workers have to be organized to become an independent. They have to achieve independent consciousness of the African people bourgeoisie. And that independent consciousness is the African internationalism, because the African working class in Tanzania are not fighting not just against the African petty bourgeoisie, they're fighting the entire parasitic capitalist economy led by the United States, which means that African working class, they must have a global vision, and the global vision and the global organization and the global strategy, that is African internationalism, has to destroy parasitic capitalism once for all on the planet. And that's the struggle of African Socialist International. That's why the chairman is going to South Africa, because we're going to hook up with our brothers and sisters who want to take on the question of the revolution, want to complete the revolution. So the ANCA all along doesn't represent the people. It doesn't matter if they've been winning the votes. The elections, it does not mean you present the legitimate interest of the people. What it simply means that there has not been a viable alternative offered to the masses of the workers so that they can fight alongside a revolutionary organization. They have not had access to that. So that's basically what we're offering, is a viable alternative revolution under the leadership of Chairman Amadi Ishitera. That's all difference. And that's basically, that's why these two is historical, because we're bringing revolution back on the agenda, and we're also bringing the leadership of the African working class itself back on the map, because that's what ASA is all about, is a revolutionary of the African working class to lead their own struggle to complete a revolution. And that's what we're calling on people listening to donate to this African Mass United process, and for white people listening to join solidarity, so they can also fulfill the role of solidarity, which is the primary role of white people who agree with Africa, African Socialist International, and African Internationalism. You know, so that's basically some of the things we want to share with our listeners, that a revolution is the agenda. You know, revolution is the agenda, is the only viable alternative. There is no other alternative for us to get rid of passive capitalism. The only medicine that will do it is a revolutionary struggle. And that's basically the call we're making. Uh-huh. Yes, we're.
Thank you, Secretary General Luizi. Absolutely. Parasitic capitalism must go. Africa must unite. We've been talking to Secretary General Luizi Kinshasa of the African Socialist International and the African People's Socialist Party, and we're calling on our members to support this struggle to get Chairman Omali Yeshitela and Uhuru Tours to South Africa. You can go to gofundme.com/Africa, I'm sorry, African Nation Tour. That's gofundme.com/African Nation Tour. We are at $8,030. $15,000 is the goal. And any contribution that any listeners can make toward getting Chairman Omali Yeshitela and the African People's Socialist Party to occupy Tanzania, to continue the African Revolution, as Secretary General Luizi Kinshasa just said, we would really appreciate, and we call on you to help us make this change of the world happen, turn the world right side up. And with that, we're going to have to break for station identification. I want to, again, thank you, Secretary General Luizi Kinshasa, all the way from Paris, France, for joining us today. I'm sorry we had some difficulty with the technology. We look forward to you joining us again. Thank you so very much, and Uhuru, Secretary General Luizi.
Yes, well, comrades, all the way to South Africa. Revolution is back.
Uhuru, absolutely. Uhuru. Thank you. You're listening to Reparations in Action here on the Uhuru News Network. I'm Jamie Simpson here in the studio. We have Chair of the African People's Solidarity Committee, Penny Hess, here in the studio with us. But before we turn to an interview with her, we're going to hear a clip from Chairman Omali Yeshitela in the in Tanzania in 2002, once we break for station identification and public service announcements. Once again, you're listening to the Uhuru News Network here on Reparations in Action. We will be right back. Uhuru.
Join us on the 2015 Marcus Garvey Legacy Cruise, a fun-filled, African-centered cruise aboard the Carnival Splendor, leaving from the port of Miami in Florida and stopping in Cozumel, Belize, Honduras, and the Cayman Islands. Hear the unique perspective and insight of Omali Yeshitela, chairman of the African Socialist International. We invite Africans everywhere and our friends and allies to share this unique experience of African culture, history, great food and friendship on a relaxing 8-day cruise from November 29th to December 6th, 2015. For more details and to place your booking for the 2015 Marcus Garvey Legacy Cruise, call our exclusive agency, Tanya's Travel, at 352-693-3034. That's 352-693-3034. You can also log on to uhurulegacycruise.org for itinerary and pricing information. Call today, because procrastination is the thief of time. 2015 Marcus Garvey Legacy Cruise, November 29th through December 6th. call Tanya's Travel at 352-693-3034. That's 352-693-3034. Or log on to UhuruLegacyCruise.org. See you on the seas.
The new Black FM radio station is coming to the St. Petersburg community. We want you to be a part of this experience. Listen to our own Black voices, relate to our own Black stories on our own Black radio. We invite you to our Juneteenth kickoff fundraiser on Sunday, June 14th, 2015, from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. There will be lots of food, live music, cultural presentations, fun for the kids, and a panel discussion on the importance of independent Black media. The celebration takes place at the Uhuru House, 1245 18th Avenue South in St. Petersburg, Florida. Your brand new 96.3 FM station in St. Petersburg. The event is affordable. It's absolutely free. For further information, call 727-824-5700. That's 727-824-5700 for the Juneteenth FM radio kickoff fundraiser in St. Petersburg on Sunday, June 14th. Bring the family.
Uhuru, you're back listening to Reparations in Action here on the Uhuru News Network. This is Jamie Simpson, your host. I'm joined in the studio with our fantastic engineer, Darren St. Pierre, chair of the Uhuru Solidarity Movement, Jesse Neville, and our international chair of the African People's Solidarity Committee, Penny Hess. And we will be speaking with Penny Hess momentarily. We wanted to extend our profound appreciation to Secretary General Luwazi Kinshasa for that fantastic interview, which I really think we need a part two of because of the technological difficulties. And that look for that in the coming months. And we're going to move now to the same topic of colonialism on the continent of Africa. And we want to bring you an excerpt from a piece called Azania, the Land, the Revolution. And this is a longer documentary you can find on YouTube. But this is an excerpt of Chairman Amalia Chatella addressing the Pan-Africanist Congress of Azania in 2002. And this marked his first return trip, and for many of the members of the Central Committee of the African People's Socialist Party, to the home continent of Africa. And it's a very fitting moment. It was a very moving moment in the history of this movement. And we bring you this excerpt of Chairman Amalia Chatella in Azania.
I want to say that I've heard it said several different times that this Congress of the Pan-Africanist Congress of Azania is a crucial Congress, and I believe that is true. Not only because of what is happening here, and not because I think that the Pan-Africanist Congress should be about trying to represent itself as some credible opposition to thugs who are in power in the form of the African National Congress. I think that this is a critical Congress because these are critical times in which we live, sisters and brothers. When we look around us and we see the government of George Bush, the government of the United States, talking about making war against the peoples of the world, what we're looking at is an imperialism that is in serious crisis. It is in serious crisis. It is too blind to understand the nature of this crisis, or even the fact that it is in crisis. It is boastful and arrogant in its ability to send troops in the Philippines, as there are troops even now, U.S. troops in the Philippines. It is boastful and arrogant in its ability to send U.S. troops into Colombia in South America, as there are U.S. troops in Colombia right now. It is arrogant in its ability to send troops in Djibouti and Uganda and its participation in making Rwanda a Holocaust occur. It's involvement in Congo. It is arrogant. And it talks now about attacking the people of Iraq, whom they have been bombing for 11 years already, where they have been responsible for more than 1.5 million deaths since 1990.
economically, politically, etc. were established as a consequence of the thrust by Europe to conquer the rest of the world. It's an imperialism that was created of stealing the resources of all the peoples of the world. It is imperialism that is parasitic in its very nature. It is imperialism that is like a tapeworm. And if you get a tapeworm in your stomach as a consequence of eating that bad meat that we shouldn't be eating too much of anyway. And no matter how hard you work, no matter what you eat, you can't get any bigger. But a tapeworm is attached to your intestines, and it doesn't have to do any work. And no matter the fact that it doesn't do any work, off your work, your labor, what you eat, it continues to grow bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Sisters, you cannot talk this tapeworm out of leaving your intestines. You can't sing freedom songs to get it to leave. You can't go to the ballot and vote to make it leave. Because if it leaves, it dies. And this is the nature of imperialism. This is the nature of international white power. It has constructed itself of the misery and the theft of the resources of the peoples of the world. And all over the world, people are demanding Uhuru. People are demanding freedom from one part of the world to another. And it is this crisis of transformation, of people struggling for freedom, that has made it necessary for George Bush to try and mobilize a military force that would bring back direct white power, direct colonial rule over the peoples of the world. This is what we're confronted with. This Congress occurs within the context of an imperialism in crisis. And this is one of the reasons that it is so important. This is one of the reasons why we have to advance the revolution that will raise up the African working class aligned with the poor peasantry from its position of misery and poverty to its status, its historically required status as a new ruling class. That's why it is necessary. I want to say that the Pan-Africanist, the African National Congress, hasn't ever had to fight alone, as we have fought alone. I watched them in the 60s, during the time when the Soviet Union declared that there were only 6 authentic revolutionary organizations in Africa. And the ANC was one of them. The PNC, PAC was not one of them. They said there were only 6 authentic revolutionary organizations. And they gave them money. They gave them organizational training. They gave them military training. They gave them ideological training. And they had a powerful international media that they used to win favor and friendship and resources for the African National Congress all over the world. All over the world. And now that the African National Congress, after Poko and Apa, and PAC has done so much work to start the crises that made it necessary for imperialism here to turn over the administration of the oppressive system to a neo-colonial party. And that's what has happened. The ANC has been given the responsibility of administering an oppressive system, and a system that speaks to the needs and aspirations of imperialist power all over the world. That is what it does. It is its administrator. The question before us is, when will we, those of us who are African internationalists, those of us who recognize that there is one Africa, one African people that must be united in order for Africa to be free, when will we stop fighting alone as we do? Here are the choices that we are faced with. We are faced with the question of whether we're in occupied Zambia. Are we fighting to make another Kenya? Are we fighting to do another Uganda, where black people are apparently in power, but the masses of our people suffer the worst kind of misery? I say no. I say that we have to unite Africans all around the world. But it is not enough, should we unite? We must unite under the leadership of the African working class and poor peasantry as manifested in their internal organizations. Don't tell me about the fact that they only got this percentage in an election. What the hell do I care about an election? I'm not interested in an election. I'm interested in freedom. I heard references made to the Constitution. That law is simply the opinion of the ruling class. Anything that challenges the monopoly of power and violence in the hands of the ruling class is illegal. Slavery was legal in the United States. Apartheid was legal. So those of us who fought against it, we went to prison. We were killed here in Abu Dhabi, throughout the Americas, and various other places around the world. So you pardon me if I make a distinction between what is written on a piece of paper, whether in America or under Palestine, and the actual conditions of existence that our people are confronted with here. I have been to the squatter's camps. I have talked to the people in Soweto. I have talked to our impoverished masses who are living in one of the so-called 1.5 million, what they call houses, created by the ENSC. I saw Mackey on television boasting about what he's done for our people with these houses. If the houses are so wonderful, why doesn't Mackey move into them?
Restricted by the imperialist imposed borders which separate us. There is not
of the African Revolution. And here in Africa, in Zambia, we have the Zambian front of the African Revolution. This is what we have. And what must happen is there must be a Kenyan front of the African Revolution. We must raise up the concept of Africanism so that in its consciousness, every African on the planet Earth recognize who we are and what our responsibility to Mother Africa is.
Uhuru. That was Chairman Amalia Shatella in 2002 speaking to the Pan-Africanist Congress of Azania in occupied Azania, or South Africa as it's known. We have with us in the studio, you're listening to Reparations in Action here on UhuruRadio.com, and we have with us in the studio Chairwoman of the African People Solidarity Committee, Penny Hess.
Uhuru. Uhuru, Jamie.
Uhuru, Penny.
Jesse and Darren. Great to be here.
Great to have you here. We are thrilled that we just had that fantastic interview with Secretary General Luwese Kinshasa. And he, one of the many things that he mentioned in that fantastic interview was the Cecil Rhodes demonstration that took down the statue of this person. Now, you, among other things in your long career as a revolutionary, wrote a book from your understandings in the Uhuru movement and under the leadership of the African People's Socialist Party called Overturning the Culture of Violence, in which you spoke about the history of Cecil Rhodes and what he meant for world imperialism. Can you speak to your thoughts about this current development with the statue being taken down and what we should know in the white community about who Cecil Rhodes was?
Well, yes, Rhodes was the ultimate imperialist, and he represented British colonialism in Africa. His dream was to build a railroad from Cape to Cairo, from Cape Town to Cairo, that would span the entire length of Africa, that would enable the resources of Africa just to be sucked out so much easier. And of course, there are railroads inside of Africa today, but he envisioned this long one that was never completed, but nevertheless, the looting of Africa was highly facilitated for the British Empire under Cecil Rhodes, and he colonized southern Africa. What is now called Zimbabwe was called Rhodesia because that was, you know, the land that he got, and as well as what's called South Africa today, mm-hmm. in the hands of the British. And he was responsible for murders of Africans. Africans that resisted were gunned down with the newly invented machine gun of the period. And there's a famous quote because Rhodes has a book, I think it's called The River Wars, where he describes the Southern Africa campaign that he was part of as a young man. And in that, he describes how they had gunned down with these new machine guns 5,000 resisting Africans in what is now Zimbabwe in one afternoon. And that, you know, he called it a splendid little war because it was really fun. And it was a great way to get his experience in the colonial wars as, you know, as a young man. And he describes how after that afternoon of gunning down 5,000 Africans in one afternoon, Africans who were waging fierce resistance for their land, the British soldiers had a grand dinner with champagne and roast beef and all the things that they liked to have. And so, you know, he enjoyed it immensely, he says. And he was in other campaigns, colonial occupation campaigns, I think in Sudan, mm-hmm. and other places that were dominated and colonized by British imperialism, which was the imperialism, the greatest imperialism of the world of that period in the 19th and early 20th century, and it boasted that there was a British Empire upon which the sun never set. It spanned the entire globe. So there was always a time zone where it was daytime. And this was the British imperialism that you know, that just brought misery and suffering to Africans, to India, where in India, under British colonialism, some Indian activists estimate that 1 billion people were killed by British colonialism. They were under British colonialism for 200 years, actually. And, you know, all the places around the world that Britain has controlled, has dominated, and just destroyed the cultures, destroyed the human beings, committed genocide. Just, you know, and the people around the world are resisting and fighting this today. This is this is what the struggles are about. This is what the crisis of imperialism is about.
And would just to be clear, would you include the U.S.? Would you see the U.S. as like the modern day continuation of that British imperialism?
Of course. I mean, after the Second Imperialist War, during the Second Imperialist War, World War II, the many of the peoples on the planet Earth and many of the oppressed nations began to wage national liberation movements and were winning in this time. And it was a very heady period. I mean, China was winning. In fact, India won its independence, I think, in 1947 or 1949. China, around the same period, Vietnam was rising up under Ho Chi Minh in the 1940s. And so British imperialism was never the same after the Second Imperialist War. And in fact, the U.S. gained control of world imperialism at that time. And this is the whole period that the chairman has summed up so brilliantly, after which the struggle for civil rights, the struggle for African workers inside the U.S. Began to rise up after this period of the Second Imperialist War, where the U.S. became the dominating power of world imperialism. But I also wanted to say about Rhodes is that I think that it's significant, and, you know, I mean, this is just to reiterate really what Secretary General Luwesi was saying. I think it's significant that the students are demanding that these statues of Cecil Rhodes be taken down, be brought down, and they're bringing them down on the campuses. And I know at least one campus won that, and they got it to go. But there's, you know, there's other struggles in other campuses happening right now. And I read that, you know, even though Africans are the majority in Azania, which is the African name for South Africa, on campuses, Africans only represent like something like 15% of the student population. It's still majority white. So this is very bold. But it's really indicative of the neocolonialism of the ANC, because the fact that Mandela and his successors in the African National Congress, which is the ruling party of Azania today, that won, you know, allegedly as a national liberation movement, which it was not. It was a neocolonial movement from the very beginning. But it's really clear that Mandela and his successors have united with who Cecil Rhodes was. And the fact that Rhodes owned or founded De Beers Diamonds, for one, he has, you know, they have a complete working relationship with the Oppenheimer family, which owns De Beers today, dating back from the time of Rhodes. There's a picture of Mandela famously shaking hands with Nicky Oppenheimer, the owner of De Beers, in front of the statue, a statue of Cecil Rhodes. So, you know, there's complete, you know, a real anti-colonial movement would have knocked down and destroyed not only all representation of this colonizer, this vicious colonizer, but would have overturned the state power that was represented in the what was called the apartheid government, the colonial government of South Africa, which that same state is still in power. And the U.S. is backing this. So, yes, it is, as Secretary General Luwesi said, it is a struggle of the students. And the students are the petty bourgeoisie of the African movement. And as he said, it is incumbent on the African workers to bring down the entire state, to overturn the neocolonial government that exists right now. But I think that it is very indicative of this period that these students are raising this question in such a powerful way.
Thank you, Chairwoman Hess. That was an amazing response to the question of Cecil Rhodes and imperialism. You know, this is an amazing period that we're seeing the reemergence of the Black Liberation Movement within this country, and we're seeing it wherever white power colonialism is. Colonized people, African people standing up and demanding their resources back, their dignity back, their homeland back. And as you said, it's African workers that must lead this process. What, and you've spoken to the role of white people in the so-called Black Lives Matter movement, the post-Ferguson era. What is the role or responsibility of white people in this process of African liberation and unification?
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, as the African People's Socialist Party says, Africans are one people all around the world. So the conditions are colonialism any place that Africans are.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore, the conditions of white people are the colonizer, the oppressed nation wherever we are.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it doesn't matter if our, you know, forefathers, our ancestors came to the U.S. from Europe or if they came to South Africa from Europe. It's the same process
mm-hmm.
as colonizers. And so if we want to be part of a future in which there is peace, in which there is the ability for all human beings to live, no one at the expense of the other, we have to support and stand in solidarity with the struggle of African people to be free, to have their land, to have their resources. And imperialism that has benefited us has to go. And I do want to call on everybody that might be listening to contribute to this Africa Must Unite donor campaign, the part of the Africans 1 Billion Strong donor campaign of the African People's Socialist Party, to raise money, $15,000 for Chairman Omali Yeshitela and other members of the party, including Secretary General Luwesi, to travel to South Africa, to Azania, in November of this year, to be able to, in a stronger way, organize the base of the party there, and to build the African Socialist International, the organization on the ground in occupied Azania that is going to lead the way for African workers to have power over their lives. And as the chairman says in that in the speech that we just heard,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, he is part of the U.S. front of the African liberation movement, and Africans in Azania are part of the Azanian front.
Mm-hmm.
So of the same African liberation movement. And our job is reparations, is to turn over the resources back to that in order to have a principled relationship to the struggle of African people for freedom and liberation, and to end the system in which we have power over everybody else, to for people to have power over their lives and to be a world without peace.
And where
with
can
peace and without oppression.
Right on. Where can our listeners go to support that fund to get Chairman Omali Yeshitela and Secretary General Luwesi Kinshasa and other party members to occupy Azania?
Yes, so you can go to uhurunews.com. And right there on the homepage is the GoFundMe, where you can just click on that and give money. 54% of the goal has been raised so far. We just need you can give $10, $5, $25, $100, or some people have given as much as $500, $800, in that range. So it's very powerful. Go to uhurunews.com. It's right there on the homepage. GoFundMe. Click on it. Donate today.
Excellent. Uhuru. Thank you, Chairwoman Penny Hess. Thank you, Secretary General Luwesi Kinshasa. I want to say, quickly turn it to Jesse Neville to close us out. Jesse, thank you for being here. I'm sorry we have only about 30 seconds for you to just close out. Tell us, we had a successful night last night with the Uhuru Solidarity Movement.
Uhuru.
Uhuru.
We did, and that's all I can say about that right now because we only have 20 seconds. But I would like to say, come join us this weekend at the Left Forum, this upcoming weekend, on May 30th, Saturday, 10 a.m. to 11:50 a.m. in room 109. Aaron O'Neill from the African People's Socialist Party and Penny Hess, the chairwoman of the African People's Solidarity Committee, will be speaking on overturning the culture of white violence at John Jay College of Criminal Justice in New York. Register at leftforum.org, and that is again Saturday, May 30th, 10 a.m. And we will be there all weekend with Planet Uhuru apparel and the